All right, buckle up for this one, because today we're diving into a case that's got it all: love, lies, and a legal showdown that reminds us why jurisdiction matters. It's Wyman v. Newhouse.
Oh, this one's a classic.
Yeah, imagine being tricked into traveling across state lines by an ex-lover only to be served with a lawsuit.
Ouch.
Right. But that's exactly what happened here, and it set a precedent that's still shaping how courts deal with sneaky tactics today.
What's so fascinating about Wyman v. Newhouse is that it goes way beyond just a messy breakup. It gets to the core of judicial power. Can a court's judgment stand if it's built on a foundation of deception?
Okay, so let's break this down. Who are the players in this legal drama, and what exactly went down?
Well, we've got Sarah Wyman and Edgar Newhouse, a couple caught up in a whirlwind romance. Things go sour, and Wyman decides to sue Newhouse for a huge sum of money. We're talking $500,000. She claims he owes her money and basically promised to marry her.
$500,000. That's a serious accusation. So how does this heartbroken woman transform into a legal mastermind?
Well, she hatches this elaborate plan to lure Newhouse from New York all the way to Florida. She spins a tale about a dying mother in Ireland, saying she can't bear to leave the country without seeing him one last time.
So Newhouse, believing her story, flies down to Florida to meet her. What happens next?
Picture this. He arrives at the Miami airport expecting a tearful reunion, and boom, he's served with a lawsuit.
Talk about adding insult to injury. It sounds like something straight out of a movie.
Right. It's a wild story, but it raises some really important legal questions, too. This is where the idea of jurisdictional fraud comes into play.
Jurisdictional fraud?
It's not just about lying in court. It's about intentionally deceiving someone to drag them into a court that has absolutely no authority to hear their case.
So Wyman's scheme wasn't just about winning the lawsuit. It was about manipulating the system itself.
Exactly. She basically tricked the Florida court into believing it had jurisdiction over Newhouse, which it clearly didn't.
And Newhouse, feeling betrayed and tricked, heads back to New York and just ignores the whole Florida lawsuit.
Which, as you might guess, leads to a default judgment against him in Florida. But the story doesn't end there. Wyman then tries to enforce that Florida judgment in New York.
So that's where the real legal battle begins. Mm. Newhouse is basically saying the Florida judgment is worthless because it was obtained through fraud.
Precisely. He's challenging the very foundation of that Florida judgment, arguing that the court never had the right to hear the case in the first place.
Wow, so this is getting interesting.
It is, and that's where we'll pick things up in the next part of our deep dive.
All right, can't wait to unpack this jurisdictional drama even further. We'll be back after a short break. It basically says states have to respect each other's judgments. But does that still apply when the original judgment was, you know, basically snuck in through trickery?
That's the big question, isn't it? It feels like a classic legal dilemma, trying to balance respecting court judgments while also preventing people from just, you know, abusing the system. Yeah, for sure. And the courts really had to grapple with this tension in Wyman v. Newhouse. What's interesting is this case didn't just stay in the lower courts. It went all the way up to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals.
Oh, wow. So what did the Second Circuit have to say about all this?
They ended up siding with Newhouse. They upheld the New York court's decision to not enforce the Florida judgment. It was like they were saying, nice try, Florida, but you can't just enforce a judgment built on a foundation of deception.
That's a pretty strong statement. So they basically nullified the Florida judgment.
Exactly. They made it clear that the full faith and credit clause isn't some kind of blank check. It doesn't apply when the original court didn't actually have, well, legitimate jurisdiction. Mm. You can't force a state to enforce a judgment that was, you know, basically obtained through trickery.
This case really shows how important jurisdiction is,
yep.
Right? It's not just some technicality. It gets to the core of a court's authority.
Absolutely. Jurisdiction isn't just about geography. It's about fairness and due process. A defendant has the right to be sued in a court that actually has a real connection to the case.
So Wyman's scheme, it was clever, but it totally backfired because it went against this basic principle of due process.
Right. And the courts, to their credit, recognized this and said, nope, we're not letting her benefit from her deception.
But wait a second. Why didn't Newhouse just fight the case in Florida? Why risk ignoring the summons and getting a default judgment slapped on him?
That's a great question, and it highlights a key point the court made. They emphasized that Newhouse didn't have any obligation to play along with this whole charade.
So he wasn't required to defend himself in a court that was essentially tricked into hearing the case.
Exactly. Jurisdictional fraud is such a serious issue that it gives the defendant a real weapon. They can basically say, look, I refuse to participate in this whole sham proceeding.
It's like saying, I'm not going to legitimize this process by taking part in it.
Right. And that's why this case is still so relevant today. It reinforces the idea that even if you manage to win a case through sneaky means, that victory can be totally ripped away if the court finds out you're being dishonest.
It's a stark reminder that courts value honesty and fair play above all else. But, you know, let's play devil's advocate for a minute. Couldn't Wyman have argued that Newhouse still benefited from, like, whatever loans or promises she claimed he made, regardless of the trickery?
Oh, she definitely could have tried that argument, but it probably wouldn't have gotten very far. Remember, the core issue here was jurisdiction. The court was basically saying, we don't even have the power to decide whether Newhouse owes Wyman money because we were tricked into hearing this case.
So the actual details of the case become irrelevant if the court doesn't have jurisdiction from the start.
Exactly. It's like building a house on a foundation of sand. No matter how nice the house is, it's going to fall apart if the foundation is weak. And in this case, the foundation was totally messed up by Wyman's deception.
That's a great analogy. It really drives home the point that jurisdiction is absolutely fundamental to the integrity of our legal system.
And Wyman v. Newhouse serves as a powerful reminder of that principle. It sets a precedent for how courts handle cases that are tainted by jurisdictional fraud. It also highlights how important it is to carefully look at jurisdiction, especially when dealing with default judgments.
So this case isn't just some interesting story from the past. It has real practical implications for lawyers and anyone involved in lawsuits today.
Absolutely. It emphasizes how important it is to understand the ins and outs of jurisdiction and the serious consequences of trying to game the system.
You know, this case really makes you think about that fine line lawyers have to walk. I mean, are they supposed to be these hardcore advocates pushing the limits of what they can get away with? Or are they more like guardians of the legal system, making sure justice is served fairly and ethically?
Yeah, it's a tough question. And Wyman v. Newhouse definitely shows that tension between those two roles. Wyman's lawyer seemed totally okay with a scheme to deceive both the court and the defendant. But then you've got Newhouse's lawyer arguing that those kinds of tactics completely undermine our whole legal system.
So where do we draw that line between clever legal strategy and straight up deception? This case seems to say that using deception to manipulate jurisdiction is definitely crossing the line.
For sure. And the court's strong stance in Wyman v. Newhouse sends a clear message to lawyers winning at any cost is not okay. If we let the desire to win overshadow fairness and honesty, we risk the integrity of the entire legal system.
It's a slippery slope, right? If lawyers can pull these kinds of tricks, it makes people lose trust in the whole legal profession and the justice system.
Absolutely. It's super important for lawyers to remember that they have a duty not just to their clients, but also to the court and to the integrity of the whole legal process.
So this case isn't just about one woman trying to trick her ex. It's a cautionary tale for all lawyers.
Right. It reminds us that ethical conduct isn't optional. It's crucial to practicing law and making sure justice is served.
Okay, as we wrap things up, what's the one thing you really want listeners to take away from our deep dive into Wyman v. Newhouse?
I think it's this. Justice can't be built on lies. Whether you're a seasoned lawyer or just starting law school, this case shows that courts demand honesty and fairness above all else. If you try to get around those principles, your whole case could fall apart no matter how smart you think your strategy is.
It's a powerful lesson and a great reminder that ethics should always be at the heart of legal strategy. Thanks for joining us on this fascinating deep dive into Wyman v. Newhouse. We'll see you next time.